I'm actually kind of sad that we can't sing that one all together, because every time I hear that song, it makes me think about people from every part of the world being in heaven for eternity singing praise to God. And that's the ultimate goal of what this month is about, is to really focus on what it means for us as a church, for that to be part of our mission, for us to be making sure that people who haven't heard the gospel can hear the gospel and be saved by Jesus. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be going through four different topics: God's heart for the nations today, and then a mission-hearted church, sending and supporting, and what that looks like and what our role is as a church, and the end goal and what it's all about. Each week, we're going to also then have a presentation by a cross-cultural worker. And then at the end of our service, we're going to break into small groups. We're going to pray for the things we've learned from the teaching. We're going to pray for the people who have shared their work, their ministry with us. And then we're going to share communion together in those small groups as well. Each week, we've asked a different small group to host our visiting speakers for lunch, so that people can have the opportunity to get to know these visitors a bit better and learn how to pray for them better. And then, as you heard over the last couple of weeks, we're also asking that as a church, if we could read the book of Acts together. So whether that be just in a couple of sessions, you sit down and read it on a rainy Sunday afternoon, for example, just sit down and read the whole thing straight through, or whether you do that for your quiet time and read a chapter a day or something like that. And then we'll have something in common we can talk about as we focus on this this mission of getting the gospel out to the world and how that happened in the early church. And as well as that, we've also mentioned that the small groups have been given some studies that go along with this teaching, so that in your small groups you can dig a bit deeper with each other and discuss these things and about what each of our roles can be. So I'm going to invite Rob up, who's going to give us our first talk for this month on God's heart for the nations. I'm going to pray for Rob, and then he's going to speak to us. Father, thank you for Rob. Thank you for his gift of speaking that you've given him. Thank you for the preparation he's put into this talk today. Please help us grasp the greatness of your holiness and your glory as he tries to put that into words today. Pray that you'd be working in each of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's a tall order. Good morning. What is God's heart for the nations, as we focus on that over the next few weeks? We have all of this year been looking at this grand plan of God. The Word from the Beginning has been the teaching series that we've been doing, and we started right at the very beginning in Genesis 1:1 with the Lord making everything and making life. And then we've followed how God has interacted with that life, what he has done through people, and particular people that God has put in a specific situation, or he's called them to do something amazing, starting with Adam and Eve. And then he's called Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the beginning of this nation that God was going to call for himself. And he called Moses and Aaron to lead the people out of Egypt and to form this nation. And Joshua entering the land, and the kings he called David. And we've seen that David himself was this foreshadowing of one that was to come. We've seen a bit of the prophets and the message that they have brought, pointing people to the Lord. And ultimately, as we began to see last week, we see Jesus, the culmination of this story. And we'll be focusing on that in the months to come. through the rest of this year. And we've heard this narrative of God who loves the world and is bringing about his purposes in the world, drawing people to himself, wanting to make a people of his own possession. But let's see some of the things that God has said about himself and why he is doing this. What is God's main concern? What is he focused on? See what you make of a few of these passages. From Exodus, God says, "But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." In Ezekiel, God says, "But for the sake of my name, I brought them out of Egypt." Joshua says, "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." And in 1 Kings, "So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is good and there is no other." If some of your friends or our, you know, political leaders said these kind of statements, you would think they were a bit full of themselves. Does God have an ego problem? Is he attention seeking? Does he need people to focus on him, to give him attention, to build him up? You know, is he somehow, diminished in his own eyes and he needs the accolades of people, the praise of people to feel good about himself? You would almost get that impression by a simple reading of some of these statements. And these are things that God has said about himself. If someone you knew said this, you'd almost think they were a bit narcissistic, right? A narcissist is someone who thinks more highly of themselves than they ought, thinks they're greater than they are, and then they need the affirmation of people to reinforce that with them. And so they're constantly looking for people's praise. They're constantly looking for people to say how good they are. Is that what God is doing? Is he needing us to build him up because he doubts himself somehow? One of the characteristics of a narcissist is that they think more highly of themselves than they really are. And it'd be pretty difficult to think of God in those terms. God is the one who has spun the stars into space. He made every atom in the universe that exists. He breathed life into every creature. We can't see the end of the universe through our most powerful telescopes, and we can't understand the intricacy of life. Even a single cell, we can't fathom how it works. This is the God that we are talking about, who has made all of those things. So it's a bit difficult for us to see that God is not as all-powerful and amazing as he makes out to be. So he's not trying to get people to puff him up, because he really is that incredible. The whole universe has God's fingerprints all over it. The heavens declare the glory of God and proclaim the work of his hands. And every living creature that has breath is breathing out what God has breathed into them in the first place. Everything is pointing to this all-powerful God. So God is not deluded. He really is as great as he makes himself out to be, and greater, beyond anything that we could ever imagine or understand, at least in this life. When John the Baptist met Jesus. And afterwards he said, he must become greater and I must become less. John the Baptist recognized that he was in the presence of someone far greater than him. Now, this is not like, say, the Murdoch family, where, you know, the son grows and he's given, you know, control of the UK operations to run things over there. And, you know, he gets promoted into that position. John the Baptist is not saying that here is Jesus, he's done his apprenticeship, he's a grown man now, so he's being given responsibility for Earth operations. You know, he's not the CEO of our planet. John is recognizing that Jesus is something far and above anyone he has seen before. He's not promoting Jesus, he is recognizing just how great Jesus is. And he's saying, I just need to get out of the way and let Jesus be Jesus and do his stuff. So where does that leave us in a loving God? As we want to talk about God's real nature, that he cares for the world, there is no greater passage than good old John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. There's a really good reason why this is such a well-known verse, because it encapsulates God's heart and God's nature and God's gift so well. So this is not about God wanting to take from his creation to get praise and adoration. This is about God giving to his creation. This is about God being the one making the sacrifice, being able to do everything that needs to be done for our salvation. You see, God is himself love. And so the greatest thing that he can do for us is to give us himself. If we have the Lord, we have everything. What's really interesting about John 3:16 is the two verses immediately before it. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So we know the story back from when Israel's in the desert, and as one of God's judgments, a bunch of snakes come out, start biting people, they're poisoning, they're dying. Moses makes this bronze snake and sticks it up on a pole and holds it high so that everybody can see. And all they have to do is look to that snake on the pole and they will be healed. This, of course, is a direct foreshadowing. It's a preview of Jesus himself, who is going to be literally lifted up on that cross and put to death. And people just have to look to him to be saved. But it's not just about Jesus physically being lifted up. It's about him being lifted in our thoughts and in our hearts. It's doing the same thing that God has been doing right through the Old Testament. If the greatest gift and the greatest thing for us is Jesus himself, is the Lord himself, then we need to see him. He needs to be lifted. He needs to be visible. He needs to be understandable to all of us, to all of the world. That is how Jesus is lifted up, not just talking about him on the cross. So what about this great salvation? Isaiah says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Luke quotes a verse like that from Isaiah as well. And in Romans, this gospel is now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. The greatest thing for us is for us to be able to see the Lord and to see Jesus and to know him. And that's the greatest thing for the whole world. How can they know the one they have not seen? And so this is why God wants to be visible, because he knows that that is what is best for us. Out of his great love, he wants us to come to him. And for that, we have to see him. For that, we have to praise him and lift him up so that others may see him. I want to finish with Psalm 96, which puts a number of these ideas together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in all faithfulness. This is a great and mighty God that we worship, and we want to lift up his name so that all people in the world may see. We're going to sing in our hearts together and worship him with this next song.